And I realized this weekend about how that is. Salute. That it's so rare to actually enter the moment, enter intimacy of our own awakened mind, moment by moment. So rare to allow everything to teach us. And so rare to really allow ourselves to be in community. To really realize that all of our thoughts, words, and actions impact everyone. The three jewels of this practice. And I thought of also the story of Shakyamuni Buddha when he was, you know, supposedly walking down a street somewhere. And someone was like, wow, far out. Are you a god? And he said, no. And they said, well, are you a king or something? And he said, no. He said, are you a man? And he said, no. What are you? I'm awake. Well, what are the practices of that? Well, when we sit, we sit. When we eat, we eat. When we walk, we walk. And to me, all the other practices are great and extra. But in this practice of intimacy, of offering care, it's so important for me to just remember that, oh, let's keep coming back to the basics. Because the basics are challenging, at least for me, to remember that this is it. Everything else, sometimes for me, can be quite distracting. And I'm thinking of, you know, this wonderful story of this Zen teacher named Bankei who, you know, he was teaching along in China and this other guy said, you know, all these other practices are so much better at our place, you know, because we, you know, learn how to, you know, do all sorts of things. But he got upset that, you know, Bankei kept teaching just this kind of ordinary stuff. So he went to Bankei's place, and in the middle of one of Bankei's talks, he says, excuse me, I'd like to challenge this practice. And Bankei said, go right ahead. And I love that attitude itself in terms of wisdom, welcoming the challenge. Okay. What I thought was supposed to be going on is different than what's actually happening. And can I welcome that? To me, that point in the story alone is the hugest teaching. And he said, you know, all of you are learning this practice here, but what I teach is about how to, you know, when I've mastered my teaching, I can use a paintbrush, an ink brush, and paint across a river when you do my practices. And Bankei said, that's wonderful. Here, I prefer to focus on sitting, walking, eating, listening. So to me, the wisdom of just returning to the basics, and for me, that is enough. For me, it's so challenging just to be here. And that's the incredible mystery of just being present. So I feel very grateful to be with all of you, doing this imperfectly, in our funky, strange way. What say you, teacher?
For me, it's all about a change of perspective. For example, a good part of my life, I felt cursed for the fact that I couldn't stop myself from knowing where I was.
In other words, if I was judging or comparing myself or jealous or any of those kind of destructive head trips, I couldn't avoid knowing that that was going on. And I considered it a curse, literally a life curse. And of course now I treasure it beyond the beyond, because without knowing what you're dealing with, how can you deal with it? If you don't know what's going on, forget it, forget it. So, you know, it's like, again, inviting your demons because they are your greatest teacher. And what's weird about it is that we solidify these demons as if they are who we are, and they're actually like a cloud overhead. If we can really understand that deeply, we take our conditioning with us, and it seems to me that most people's ways of surviving as infants and children, if they are not seen for what they are, they carry through your lifetime, and you get more and more stuck in these habitual ways of thinking and being and feeling. So it's like revealing yourself to yourself is how you become yourself. And I think that the only thing worth doing in this lifetime is to find out, who am I really? Not who I think I am, or who I'm trying to be in order to please, or to, you know, have people's opinions be this or that or the other thing. It's irrelevant what people think, because they're all projections. Whatever they think about you is about them. And that's how we find out about ourselves. Because I see the world as a mirror. A mirror. Everything that is looking into our faces is a teaching. So that, let's say, if somebody criticizes me or makes a comment about something this or that, I take it in and I reflect on it and see what validity is there for me to look at. Because if I'm upset by it or taking it personally, then it becomes a source of suffering without being a mentor. Every comment, everything that happens is a teaching. So extraordinary. That's why really being able to be in the moment, even if it happens once a week, it gives you a taste of what freedom is. Just the willingness. That's all that's required. The willingness and the intention to just be here and know that everybody is suffering. Another thing that helps me is to look into people's eyes when I go to the supermarket or the car place or wherever it is, to see where they are, to see their suffering, so that even if somebody is giving you a hard time, if you just gaze into their eyes, you see this with the suffering and where these nastinesses or angers or so on come from. And that immediately gives you a feeling of intimacy. I don't mean that it necessarily develops into a relationship, but you understand what I mean. In other words, you see the humanity in everybody. So it's it really is basically escaping from what you learned as a child to survive in this life and letting it all go, little by little by little. And as I said before, this is a lifetime process. There's no arriving, so you don't have to kill yourself every time you make a mistake, because mistakes are the teachings. If we never make a mistake, we just through life. You know, and nobody here is doing that. So when you recognize what the real guts of the situation is, it makes it a little bit easier. And the three treasures, of course, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, without the Sangha, forget it. You know, I can go and live in a mountain cliff for years and think that I'm enlightened, but let me come back into the marketplace and I can see my unfinished business. So there's no way to do it without being surrounded by people who are also doing it, in addition to all the others you encounter in the world. Anyway, get rid of your conditioning and be free. Ha, 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 ha Ho, ho, ho. We're all unfinished business. I leave you with that.
Am I supposed to follow that act?
What choice do you have? We'll be on the other side next time.
I don't know that I have any words of wisdom. I'm kind of foolish most of the time. Fumbling along, trying to get it right. And I mean, I think I say always, you know, I screw up constantly. You know, this practice of looking at ourselves, looking at our life, working with the precepts. So for practically half of my life, yeah, where am I now? 60s, 30s? Yeah, for half of my life, it was just being in that fog, just fumbling around, doing whatever the next shiny thing, best tasting thing, best looking thing was, without any fear or thought of the consequences. So in this second half of this life that I have right now, it's almost like karmic payback. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Here comes this. Oh, that makes sense because, well, what did you expect? I was going to catch up with you someday. And you know, I wish I had one of those Dharma existences where, you know, we meet great teachers who seem to have it really down pat, you know, and they seem to not get upset and very kind of on an equal footing, level playing field. And I wonder, wow, how did they do that? You know, I didn't do those drugs. It's like this. And yet, they're so inspiring, those teachers, to me, that really have the wisdom, the Dharma wisdom, and are able to live it in a way that seems, I mean, we don't live with them, but it seems that it's very authentic and real, and I don't have that experience. I've mentioned yesterday or the day before, you know, I wake up in the morning and it's usually a hell realm in my head. It's like, I just want to stay in bed, or I don't want to get up at all, or it's like, there's a great fear of what's going to happen in the world that I wake up into. And I know that this practice has given me the tools, or given me an opportunity to see that the world is not as dark as I perceived it to be for many, many years, and still perceive it to be these days, but it's not as dark as it used to be. And it's an ongoing process. And as Koshin began, you know, the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, you know, from the Buddha and the Dharma, it's, you know, I get that. You know, it's the Buddha, this great smart guy and the teachings. But the community, that's really fucking hard. You know, it's like, when you just want to do everything your own way, because, you know, this is how I survive, doing it my way, thank you very much. And if you all just did it my way or just left me the fuck alone, my life would be much easier. But this whole thing about learning from each other, you know, seeing each of you as teachers, this relationship piece of it, looking into someone's eyes when you're getting your Starbucks latte in the morning, or the homeless lady on 105th and Broadway, who thinks I'm the sexiest thing ever. But I think it's only because I give her $5 every time I see her. So she's always got a great line for me. But I remember I used to have those lines too. I had those lines when I wanted something. So it's a great, on one level, it's a great comfort to meet her where she is. Because I haven't been black in this life, but I've been homeless. And I've, you know, manipulated money. So to meet this lady very often is such an incredible reminder of how precious this life is. And she's very happy. She's perfectly happy. She has a daughter in Brooklyn. I think I spoke about this woman. She has a 5-bedroom apartment on Central Park West. Yeah. And she's been in this rent-controlled apartment since she was, her mother, you know, had it. So when nobody wanted to live on 105th and Central Park West. And she's very proud of the fact that she has a 5-bedroom apartment. And she has, you know, people staying and paying rent, and she's out there every day panhandling. It's what she knows how to do. It's amazing. It's fabulous. To me, that's also Buddha. You know, she's in the world in the way that she knows how to be in the world. She hasn't had an easy life, for sure. She has a few teeth missing, and she's overweight, and you know that she didn't have the best childhood. And her daughter, you know, kind of puts up with her, but she's this incredible woman in her own being, in her own Buddha-ness. And it's only, or it's in great part because of this practice, that I'm able to see her in that way. And not this homeless person that's trying to get one over on me. You know, we both come up in similar ways. So as Diane said, you know, one is not better than the other. Bankei's teachings, whatever. Okay, go paint across the river with your calligraphy brush. I'm gonna sit here on my cushion. Go read all the books, all the sutras, study all the sutras, and become a scholar. I'm going to get up and try and get through my day the best I can. And chant the verse of atonement in the morning, and the 4 vows in the evening, and the evening gatha. And that's probably as much as I can remember from all the sutras we've studied. A friend of ours said, they're like vapor trails in my mind. It's like, I could read, you know, the teachings of Dogen from now until next Christmas, every day. And come January 1st, 2017, if you said to me on January 1st, 2017, what was that book about? I'd say, I haven't the vaguest idea. Vapor trails. But on some level, it's gone in. And that's what's important about this practice, these retreats. On some level, it sinks in. Just being with each other, in our differences, in our onenesses, and realizing that actually we're not alone, that we're all teaching each other in the ways that we can teach and receive. I don't know if any of that makes any sense, but who gives a shit? Makes sense to me. And I do give a shit. Of course I do. But, you know, old habits die hard.